Okay, so we are sitting down today with Heidi Stedman from Visual Arts Minnesota. Welcome to KVSE, Heidi.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
On. So can you tell us a little bit about the organization, Visual Arts Minnesota? What's its history and where y'all at?
All right, sounds good. Well, let's see. Visual Arts Minnesota has had that name since the year 2000. But before that, we originated as an organization in 1973 when we officially got our 501c3 and could be a nonprofit. But otherwise, we have been, it started out as a huge organization with every type of art form underneath, you know, the category of, okay, so we have music, we have performances, we have, you know, visual art. Well, then we sort of broke free and became only visual art. So that means things hanging on walls, sculpture, ceramics, hopefully installations sometime soon, you know. And so what we do, we host exhibits throughout Minnesota, but primarily in St. Cloud. And some of them are juried exhibits. Some of them are high school and children's exhibits, but we also have satellite galleries so we can show work of up-and-coming artists or established artists.
Right on. So basically anything which would involve what could be determined as visual art, is what you're focusing on, what you're promoting within the community. Would you like to talk about some of these different programs that you have coming up?
Well, the Young Artist Exhibition Mentorship Program is where we invited artists grades 9 through 12 from Central Minnesota to, they were just submitting actually an application saying what their relationship to the arts, what is it? And then also, what do they want to do in the visual arts? And we just now selected five artists, and they will be exhibiting a variety of work. I'm really excited because I believe we have a student from Sartell, one from Foley, one from Elk River, and then a few other schools that I can't seem to remember right now, but literally the stuff landed on my table today. So they are then going to learn how to present their work, and they will then present their work in January. The date is to be determined at this point. But they have to put the exhibit together. They have to promote it. They have to, you know, heaven forbid, write press releases, you know, you know, or possibly talk on KVSE. Who knows what we'll see. It should be interesting. I'm pumped because I expected, you know, just the same old, you know, assignments to come to the table. Like, okay, we have to do, you know, an etching, or we have to do a simple printmaking project or whatever. And this seems to be my gift. But a lot of these kids who are coming forward have like just a super passion that hasn't been discouraged at all. And so they may have a statement to make, whether it's political, social, or something along those lines, or purely aesthetical. I mean, many of them just have an aesthetic statement to say, you know, hey, what? I'm not into modern work. I'm into hyper-realism. You know, but they don't necessarily have the vocabulary yet. You know, and they're not getting that at necessarily in school. I mean, they may be because they're, you know, being encouraged by their teachers. But I'm going to hook them up with some talented artists from this area. And so then that way they can learn how to present their work in different ways or maybe come up with new ideas before they go off to college.
Yeah. So this is basically, these are very young artists, as you would say.
Yeah.
And then they're, you know, but they're somewhat, I wouldn't want to call them established artists, but they've got,
they're emerging. They're not necessarily as a kid myself, I always got the, gosh, you're so creative, you know, and you're good at math, so you should be an architect. Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't, and I did study to be an architect, you know, but, decided that I was better off as an artist. And that was very challenging to, admit that to my father, who was a banker. He really wanted me to be an architect. But if I would have had the tools to even pick a school that would have fit me, you know, it doesn't always have to be these high-end schools. There's so many different things that a person could do. Some of our best artists from our region aren't even college educated. And so they were self-taught. They did what they, you know, had to do to learn, their techniques. They would just learn it from, their father or from another artist or something like that. There's a lot of different ways for them to learn the craft of visual art. So I'm excited to see where these kids are at and where they could grow, you know, from day one. Right. So that should be fun.
Yeah, and this is a new program for
visual arts. It's totally new, but I'm a go-with-the-flow kind of person. I mean, granted, I have some, you know, forms of measurement because I did have to get funding. But for now, I'm really excited to see where they go with it, and I think it'll be a blast.
Yeah, multi-generational, non-traditional teaching of the arts.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
There's something very appropriate about that.
Exactly. It's after our art making, you know.
There you go. Well, why don't we chat about some of the regular season events that Visual Arts Minnesota has coming up.
Okay.
Let's see here. I didn't write these down in order.
That's okay.
But let's see. I think
I have them right here.
Oh, hey, look.
Yeah, there we go. We have coming up the...
That's the 2011 schedule event. Mm-hmm. Calendar is out.
Mm-hmm.
And well, let's just start off in January.
Yeah.
The Essential Art Exhibit.
Yeah, it's the 11th annual Essential Art Exhibit. And this is a juried art show that we will be inviting a juror from outside our area. But it's open to all Minnesota artists. And the submission deadline will be January 3rd to drop off work. December 30th is the time that they can register by. So we have registration ahead of time to keep the flow going, I guess, smoothly. That show has been around for quite some time, and it's great for emerging and established artists. But a lot of the artists that we've had in the past have just used this as a springboard to get moving towards other juried exhibits throughout the nation and beyond. So I'm very excited about that one.
So what is the difference between like a juried exhibition and just say, you know, maybe something at the art crawl?
Oh, yeah. Well, a juried exhibit would be that we have an expert come in and has some sort of criteria to judge each piece. Many of the jurors are artists themselves, but they're also educated in the various genres that are out there. The last juried show we had was Art a la Carte, and we had an artist, John Salmon, in there, and he was teaching actually a watercolor class. But what's interesting is that he's a watercolorist, so anybody who was not a watercolorist who did not submit their work should have, because he was very very well educated in the various genres. He was he's lived a very long life, so he has been through every type of period.
Yeah, he's lived art history.
Yeah, he knows, you know, so you can't really shock him with something, you know, that everything's been done. I mean, that's kind of the joke, is like, oh, you can't shock me, you know. But he was very educated as far as what was being presented to him, and then he was able to talk, you know, say, okay, I picked 8 completely different pieces. None of them were his own medium, you know, and it was fascinating to see how he got to that point to make those decisions. No juror is the same, and I encourage any artist who wants some feedback on their work to submit their work, because you could get a great critique on your work, and it helps build one's resume, but also could possibly get some really important feedback that
Never know where you're going.
Yeah. And with that exhibit, we have about a 50% acceptance rate. On average, we have just over 100 pieces submitted, and then we can only exhibit about 40 to 50 pieces, depending on their medium and their size. And then we exhibit that at the Paramount. So, and it's in the theater gallery, just right downtown.
Right outside of the theater, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's the Essential Art Juried Exhibition exhibit, mm-hmm. I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And the deadline for that is January 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have a prospectus out actually in November.
Nice.
So, yeah.
If somebody wanted more information on the Young Artist Exhibition Mentorship Program, they'd be able to find that on your website,
yes,
correct?
Yes. And that's visualartsminnesota.org, all spelled out.
All spelled out, yep. All one word.
And if they want information on our juried exhibit for Essential Art, which, like I said, will be ready in November, they could email me, which is actually the best way to do it, because then I can send a digital copy to them. And our website is a little primitive right now.
Not too bad.
But I have problems with it. Anyway, that's just a whole other issue. and it might be fixed by then, but they could email me at VAM, as in Visual Arts Minnesota, at visualartsminnesota.org. So,
easy way to get information.
How'd that visually show up? But that's actually one of the better ways, or else they could just call us at 320-257-3108, and I can drop one in the mail or whatever.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC. I'm Jeff Carmack, and I'm sitting down and interviewing the executive director from Visual Arts Minnesota, Heidi Stedman. Let's see. Also, you've got some more regular events coming up, mm-hmm. regarding the younger artists again, mm-hmm. getting them. Mm-hmm. We've got a high school level art event and a children's art event.
Yes,
yeah, talk about those.
The 31st annual high school art show, which, to be honest, I was in that 15 or 16 years ago, and which is really bizarre, because then when I started, you know, working for the organization, it kind of sunk in the night of the presentation, because I'm giving awards to all these students. I totally know where they're at, because I was literally having flashbacks to, you know, 1994, 95. And that's a competition, actually. So it's one of the few things on the resumes of our local young artists. And that's the other reason why I started the other program. Because for visual artists, they primarily just do their work at home and in the classroom. But otherwise, they don't necessarily exhibit very often, like, say, a performing artist. I mean, you have to. Mm. You know, that's like the requirement. You have to perform.
Yeah, if you're a musician, you've got to go play music.
Yeah,
if you're,
exactly.
If you're an actor, you got to get on stage.
Right. So they have this huge list, and so if they're trying to apply for grants and all this stuff, then they have a huge list. Whereas visual artists kind of don't. You know, they're kind of like, well, I got some stuff,
yeah,
you know.
They have a portfolio.
Yeah, if they know what portfolios are, you know, they hopefully do, but they don't always. I didn't. So this was, you know, this is definitely something that I was part of, but that's why I created the other program. But anyway, but that's in March, and it runs March 25th through April 29th. And during the reception, we have the jurors, who are actually going to be three college students from SESU. So if anybody's interested, they could get information from me, because I'm looking for art majors who might want to jury the show. And then they're going to be working with an experienced artist who has juried shows before, to kind of guide them through the process of the critique. It's a lot of work, but you know,
all those art student union people don't have anything else going on.
They have nothing going on. Yeah, totally. And it's a good experience. I mean, they'll have a hard time. Last year we had, we actually sat there with the finalists from the show. You know, we had them all lined up, and the students were like, I can't make a decision, because they had to choose from, you know, a group of really talented kids, and they were having a hard time. But it is worth the experience. And then they speak at the reception, and you know, and they're not that hard of a crowd. I mean, they're just a bunch of high school students. So that's kind of fun. I mean, I'm excited to do it again. Last year, it was my first year as director to do that show. And I was really blown away with the talent that's in this area. So, but the Children's Art Show is something we do in May, and that's just a shorter exhibit. Not as extraordinary, you know, we don't have a huge amount of, you know, prizes and a juried process. But it goes from May 2nd through May 31st. And then we have a reception on May 9th. But the, Children's Art Show is fun because we supply the frames and the pedestals and it can be brought in by school teachers or parents. So that one is a great opportunity also for homeschoolers. They love this opportunity to show their kids work because they do a lot of work at home. And so that one is a good time. Then the reception, friends and family come and vote. So my dream is to get it online so people could vote online and outside, you know, like so grandma in California could do it. But
oh, of course.
Not until my website's up to par. But, and then in June, we have the Art a la Carte exhibition, which is also a juried exhibit like Essential Art. And that's always a big one. So I won't repeat myself, but, you know, for the most part, that's, you know, we have the two exhibits. And I should mention they can win prizes. Pretty large prizes, actually.
Very cool.
I know.
And what's the deadline for application for Art
a la Carte?
Well, Art a la Carte and Art for Arts.
Oh, yeah. The Art for Artists is the September show. Let's see. Art a la Carte, the deadline for submissions as of now is June 1st. And then the deadline for Art for Artists, which is at the U.S. Bank, it's a community exhibit, that is September 2nd. So.
Yeah, it's in the future, but they definitely got. You don't just make art and put it out there. People are working on this stuff now, and
yeah, a lot of times, a lot of artists sometimes they use these as a goal. Yeah. They're like, "Oh, I'm working on a concept. I want to submit it," and then it shows up.
Well, you got to make a deadline.
If you don't make a deadline, if you don't put a deadline, you'll never get it done.
Exactly.
But yeah, exactly. So.
Right on. Okay, well, one more thing I was wanting to chat about is the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and how that has affected Visual Arts Minnesota over, well, it's been around for about a year, over a year now.
The funding's been out for about a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so there was something, well, I mean, you guys existed in some form or fashion much before that, but now, well, how has it changed? What has this done for the organization?
Oh, it saved us, actually. I mean, if we actually had a huge cut in funding before the funding was released, and when that happened, we lost our executive director, and we went for about 6 months without a director. And if that funding wasn't available, we wouldn't have been able to hire me or even do any of our other projects. Because, you know, applying for grants takes time and money. Processing them takes time. And all these different things took time and none of us really had it. And so, you know, that's just the way it is. It has almost tripled the funds available to execute programs. Has allowed us not to have to match as much. Because you think about, a lot of times when you write a grant, you have to have matching funds from other people. Well, so many different, you know, different individuals, foundations, organizations who used to fund the arts, they were running out of money or the available funds were down. And so they weren't contributing as much as they wanted to. And so this has actually bought us some time on a lot of different levels. So we don't have to, you know, tap these organizations who didn't have the funds and need to kind of get the ball rolling for themselves also. So we've been able to do a lot more of our programs without the individual contributions that we used to get. But I mean, and that's just to buy time. I think people are getting back into the giving mood again, and I think that's good. We definitely, the accountability though, man, is so high. So, I mean, we have to look at the full community and what they want or need. Mm-hmm. And, And that's pretty important, you know, but I love that because it's not like, oh, this is my pet project. You know, I think it's great. I think it's so pretty. No, I'm not doing that. I'm, you know, thinking the entire community as a whole whenever a program is created.
Exactly. Yeah. That's I think one of those ideas there. It's like, yeah, there's money coming into these various organizations and each organization is using the money as how their organization is organized, what their mission is.
Yeah.
You know, every organization has a different mission, and it's like, well, these legacy funds are helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we ran into a pretty nasty situation with the economy, and if it wasn't for these legacy funds, who knows?
We would be gone.
Yeah.
You know, so many people would be done. Yeah. And when you have that much of a history... Heck, you know, legacy. You have a history. It's important to people. It may not be to everybody. You know, say one out, you know, the visual arts or, you know, performing arts or whatever. I mean, it may not be part of everybody's everyday life. But if it was gone, we'd probably notice, you know, that the other, you know, something that I didn't participate is gone. You know, you don't know what you got till it's gone, right?
Wow.
And so it was a fantastic it's a fantastic opportunity. And, you know, quite honestly, as a director for an organization that's getting that funding, I have just an insane, I feel a responsibility to the state for which I work and live, you know, to do the best with it as I can, you know?
Oh, exactly. Well, I agree with you 100%. You know, my position as a producer is based upon a grant from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Right.
So it's just like, okay, the state has decided to spend this money in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since this is, you know, mass communication, this is, you know, radio,
mm-hmm.
that's what I've done. It's like, I'm going to tell these stories and, you know, some of the stories have to do with legacy funding. Some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just whatever our arts and cultural heritage is. It's very broad.
It is broad. There's a lot you can do with it. And and I think that I know myself, you know, when I sit there and I'll add a little bit onto the high school art exhibit, for instance, and say, well, okay, we're in an economy that is really not that great. And if three art students from St. Cloud State are going into the field of visual art or even graphic design or something like that, having just a little bit of experience, you know, being a juror or understanding a bit more about the arts and what they could be doing with it, that's better for them in the long run. And, you know, that's only three students. But then if I get the 100 students that I deal with in the overall high school exhibit, then... You know, if I could give them additional information or additional, you know, bang for their buck, so to speak, as far as being part of that program. Great. It prepares them for when the economy is good or when, you know, other things are going on. So I have in the back of my head always the economy, the our heritage, but also our responsibility, if that's our gift, to move forward with it. So... It's it's a lot, but I'm willing to take on the challenge.
Oh, I know. It's a good challenge to have. You know, it's building our community, defining our own culture, and just running with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't we talk about one more thing. You've got the satellite galleries there. What are those all about? Where are they?
Yeah, we have four satellite galleries here in St. Cloud. A satellite gallery is something that would be basically outside of our home, which our home is generally the Paramount. But the satellite galleries include American Red Cross, St. Cloud Civic Center, CentraCare Health Plaza, and U.S. Bank downtown. And and we rotate art exhibits every 2 months or so at each location. These artists could be new. You know, they could be just out of school and they want to exhibit their work and build their resume. They could be in the emerging phase of their career, which is self-defined. But at the same time, sometimes we'll get people who are from this region. They're established in their own world, but they may come back and want to exhibit something that, you know, they've been working on, you know, or it's a new concept and they want to exhibit it and get people in the door. And what's great, I mean, from my point of view, you know, I love just going and seeing the work and enjoying it. But these are locations that people go to for other reasons. So you go to the U.S. Bank to bank. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's all you're doing.
You're going to the doctor.
You're going to the doctor to be at the doctor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, American Red Cross, you're giving blood. And it's the American Red Cross is interesting because that's like right there in the donation room. And that's the most captive audience we got. You know, but at the same time, they are the most interested because nothing's worse than seeing a, you know, red and white with black print poster to look at for an hour if you're given blood. And yet we get to show artists there. Mm-hmm. And their staff is really supportive, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, I've as an artist myself, have shown in those galleries, and I get feedback because people really enjoy it. Yeah. And if they know me or they don't know me or they want to know me, it's a good way to exhibit work. So,
yeah, if you think about it, that is something that art does for us. Just think about donating blood. You're sitting there. You have nothing on the walls. It's very sterile.
It just doesn't
feel so hot.
I know.
But you've got all of this artwork to look at instead.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's more enjoyable. It makes the act of giving blood
A little bit more enjoyable.
Some people might just enjoy it to begin with, and that's fine. You know, but
some people,
yeah,
maybe not.
It's just that kind of quality of life within the moment of where you're at,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
yep.
just these, it seems like little things, you know, but they mean a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and what's great about those satellite galleries too is that the artists we don't take any cut in their. You know, their commission. So if they sell something, if you're interested in buying a piece, and all you do is just contact the artist and deal with them straight on. And it's just a nice program for artists to get started. I mean, it just takes every little bit counts, you know? So,
right on. So, mm-hmm. well, once again, we've been talking with Heidi Stedman from Visual Arts Minnesota. And if you would like to contact them about any of the programs that they have going on, from the regular juried events and the Arts for Artists, the Arts a la Carte, Essential Art, mm-hmm. that is, those are going to be up on their website at www.visualartsminnesota.org, or you can give them a call at 320-257-3108. And, of course, people don't want to forget about the Young Artist Exhibition Mentorship Program, something brand new that's mm-hmm. starting up as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you'd like to say about the arts today, Heidi?
Vote November 2nd. Vote art friendly. And you can actually look up your various candidates and see where they stand on the arts. On I believe the Minnesota Citizens for the Art website. Also, let's see. Oh, and on Art Crawl, November 19th.
Oh, yeah. The next Art Crawl is coming. The final one for this year before yeah. the snow really starts to
yeah.
fly.
Yeah, November 19th from 5 to 9 p.m., and we will be at U.S. Bank featuring the artist Richard Graves. And he's a watercolorist with like some insane, crazy color. He's going to be doing demos, and we'll have food and, schmoozing.
Yep, all over downtown St. Cloud.
Mm-hmm. And the U.S. Bank is the headwaters. I've tokened that phrase, the headwaters of the crawl, along with the Falcon. And then you head down the river of St. Germain
yeah.
and up,
past the Paramount,
veranda,
past the White Horse, past the Student Union gallery
vault. Yep, the vault. And then, you know, end up at the veranda, right?
Yep, end up at the veranda. Yep, and the Minnesota Citizens for the Arts, their website is mncitizensforthearts, all one word there, and then .org.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So vote art friendly, you know it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting down with me today, Heidi.
No problem.
Once again, for more information on Visual Arts Minnesota, you can visit their website at www.visualartsminnesota.org. And that's all one word. Or you can link to it off of our website at kvsc.org. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC News.
And this report has been made possible through funding through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced by KVSC, a proud member of Independent Public Radio.